Good morning to everyone on this very auspicious Kamikai Kadashin, one of the most holy places, especially in the West, the Bhaktivedanta Manor. The Bhaktivedanta Manor, especially because of Srila Prabhupada's quarters, have been declared by GBC as one of 8 heritage sites of Srila Prabhupada, these sacred places of importance. For all devotees of ISKCON. So along with Vrindavan, Mayapur quarters, Juhu quarters, then Honolulu, Hawaii, Los Angeles, and at Watseka Avenue in New York, which is at present in Brooklyn, including Matchless Gift as well as Manor, because Srila Prabhupada used to reside here. He said, actually, I eternally reside here. So we should make sure that Srila Prabhupada feels welcome. So I'm very happy to be here in this great place, and especially an association of so many wonderful devotees. So today we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, 10th chapter, text 37 to 40. So we have the text 40 on board, so I'll read text 37 to 39, and then we'll read together 40. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O King, know from me that all living entities are created by the Supreme Lord according to their past deeds. This includes Brahma and his sons like Daksha, the periodical heads like Vaivasvata Manu, the demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna, the great sages like Bhrigu, Vyasa, and Vasishta, the inhabitants of Pitriloka and Siddhaloka, the Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Asuras, Yakshas, Kinnaras, and angels, the serpentines, the monkey-shaped Kimpurushas, the human beings, the inhabitants of Matriloka, the demons, Pishachas, ghosts, spirits, lunatics and evil spirits, the good and evil stars, the goblins, the animals in the forest, the birds, the household animals, the reptiles, the mountains, the moving and standing living entities, the living entities born from embryos, from eggs, from perspiration and from seeds, and all others, whether they be in the water, land, or sky, in happiness, in distress, or in mixed happiness and distress. All of them, according to their past deeds, are created by the Supreme Lord. Purport. The varieties of living entities are mentioned in this list, and with no exception, from the topmost planet down to the lowest planet of the universe, all of them in different species of life are created by the Almighty Father Vishnu. Therefore, no one is independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita 14.4, the Lord therefore claims all living entities as his offspring in the following verse. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiyaha Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradavpitam. The material nature is compared to the mother. Although every living being is seen to come out of the mother's body, it is still a fact that the mother is not the ultimate cause of such a birth. The father is the ultimate cause of birth. Without the father's seed, no mother can give birth to a child. Therefore, the living beings in different varieties of forms and positions within the innumerable universes are all born of the seeds of the Almighty Father, the Personality of Godhead. And only to the man with a poor fund of knowledge they appear to be born of the material nature. Being under the material nature of the Supreme Lord, all living entities beginning from Brahma down to insignificant end are manifested in different bodies according to their past deeds. The material nature is one of the energies of the Lord, Bhagavad Gita 7.4. The material nature is inferior in comparison to the living entities, the superior nature. the superior nature and the inferior nature of the Lord combine to manifest all universal affairs. Some of the living entities are relatively happy in better conditions of life, whereas others are in distressed conditions of life. Perfectly none of them are actually happy in the material condition of life. No one can be happy in prison life, although one may be a first-class prisoner and another a third-class prisoner. The intelligent person should not try to be promoted from third-class prison life to first-class prison life, but should try to be released from the prison altogether. One may be promoted to first-class prisoner, but the same first-class prisoner is again degraded to a third-class prisoner in the next term. One should try to be free from prison life and go back home, back to Godhead. That is the real goal for all types of living entities. Om Agyananti Mirandasya Agnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Asadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are especially dear to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Priyam, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to relish the mellows of devotional service explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he personally have said, Srimad Bhagavad Rasa Tattva Prachara, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata, Janela Samsara, that he have come to preach the transcendental mellows of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Rasa Tattva Prachara, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata, which is not different from Krishna himself, and therefore can liberate all living beings. So Srimad Bhagavatam is considered as a Shabda Brahman and is not different from Parabrahman, Sri Krishna himself. Actually, in one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that Srimad Bhagavatam are the thoughts of Krishna. So thoughts of Krishna and his devotees, and devotees are seeing Krishna in form of Shyamasundar, who is Atmarama, the one who is self-satisfied within himself, and who is also Rasamai, Pararama, the one who shares his bliss and experience with others. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered the Srimad Bhagavatam as Pradhana Shastra, the foundational scripture among all Vedic scriptures. And especially, Srimad Bhagavatam is coming from the mouth of Krishna, and from position of Sambandha Gyan, from the position of original Purusha. However, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming in this world, then he is giving the same Srimad Bhagavatam from position of Prakriti, Mula Prakriti, that is Srimati Radharani. So from the level of Prayojana Gyan, from the level of love of Godhead. So that therefore it's very special, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his explanation have ultimately beautified the whole Sampradaya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam should be learned in association of devotees, and actually not learned, but actually relished. Bhagavat Rasa Svadana is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, Srimad Bhagavat Rasa Svadanam Rasika is Saha Sajati Ashaya Snigde Sadhu Sange Svato Vare. The Srimad Bhagavatam should be relished in the association of like-minded Sajati Ashaya Snigde persons or devotees who have similar kind of affection for Krishna. Snigda, it's affection. So with such kind of devotees, we should try to associate, especially highly elevated devotees who are sadhus. Original sadhu sangha means the Vrajavasis, especially Srimati Radharani is the original sadhu to say. So those who are following in their footsteps, then we are trying to associate with them and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from them. So relishing Srimad Bhagavatam in association of devotees, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have relished in association of his followers in Bengal and Orissa. And among all Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam is very special because it explains everything in a context, the history in the context of great devotees and how they have used Vedic knowledge for the pleasure of Krishna. In first canto, text 3, first chapter is saying, Nigama kalpataror galitam palam, shukamukad amrita dravya samyutam, pibatam bhagavatam rasamalayam, muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. So this mature fruit of desire tree of Vedic literature have now been touched by Shukadeva Goswami and is even more relishable. Therefore, drink it. Pibata is imperative. You should drink it. Rasamalayam, it is the nectar coming from his mouth. And the thoughtful person, Srila Prabhupada says, should relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. Muhura ho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. Those who are rasikas and bhavukas. Rasikas and bhavukas are actually paramahamsas. And so we can just consider ourselves how disqualified we are to not only hear but to speak as well. So we don't have any adhikar to speak on that. But however, in the service of our Guru Parampara, we are speaking. We are not speaking as any kind of a teacher or any, you know, guru or instructor. We are speaking from as a service for our spiritual masters. So that is the qualification. Paramahamsa Samhita Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for paramahamsas. It's for people who are above Varnashram Dharma, who are above sannyas level even. So where are we actually to properly relish Srimad Bhagavatam? Rasikas and bhavukas. Bhavukas are persons who have ecstatic emotions in their devotional service, and rasikas are those who already relish their relationship with Krishna, prema, bhakti. So, from our position, very difficult to understand this. However, our service is then to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this desire tree of Vedic literature, Nigama Kalpataror, is explaining the knowledge which comes through Guru Parampara. Nigama means Niyatam Gamyate Iti Nigama. Niyatam, the tradition, Gamyate, that which comes in tradition. It is Nigama. So it is not that this knowledge is obtained through speculative means, but is obtained actually through reception in the septic succession. And opposed to that is agama, the knowledge which comes from nigama, the knowledge like tantra shastra, like our deity worship is coming from nigama. So then these two combines, because many people are not qualified to follow nigama or the Vedas, Shruti, and therefore agama is there so that different classes of people can follow Vedic injunctions. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is then the mature fruit of all nigamas, all Vedic scriptures. And that means that actually in all Vedic scripture, in Srimad Bhagavatam, all other scriptures are supposed to be there. And it's true actually. If you do research, we can find, for example, chronologically, first canto, we have Mahabharata. It's Garuda Purana is saying that Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. It is the explanation of Mahabharata, explanation of the great epic of Mahabharata. So we see how Krishna and Pandavas have been related in first canto. So then we have Ramayana in which canto? Ninth canto. Then we have different kinds of Puranas as well. For example, Kalki Purana, 12th canto, yeah. But these are all itihasas and Puranas, great narratives, histories. But where would be some direct Vedic suktas inside? Yeah, that is Vedantic. Yeah, that, because Srimad Bhagavatam is also the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Artoyam Brahman Sutranam. So that is there because actually whole Srimad Bhagavatam then explains Vedanta Sutra. But where would be some Vedic suktas? Actually, in this same canto, second canto, chapter 5 and 6, chapter 5 explains Narayana Sukta. Narayana Paraveda, Narayana Paramukti, etc. And then Purusha Sukta is explained in the sixth chapter. The Purusha Sukta confirms. So Vedic Suktas as well. We also have Sri Sukta explained in the churning of the ocean. And so many Suktas are explained. But some scriptures which are more familiar to us are also there. For example, Bhagavad Gita. Where would Bhagavad Gita be in Srimad Bhagavatam? 11th canto, yeah. Uddhava Gita, I see. Prabhu is well read. Uddhava Gita is just same knowledge, but in another occasion given to another devotee, also by Krishna. Then, for example, Brahma Samhita. Where would be Brahma Samhita? In the same meter, same chanda. It is in third canto. Explanation of creation. Then over there, it's a same thing explained. For example, Ishopanishad is also in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is saying, Ishopanishad is starting with Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, but here it is starting with Atmavasyam Idam Sarvam. And then the whole explanation of how Svayambhuva Manu is offering prayers to Yajñapati are explained over there. So different kinds of knowledge are there, and actually all 14 books of Vedic knowledge are in Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaturveda, Shadvedanga, and Chaturupanga. So if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll get all kinds of knowledge, and finally we'll get them in context of Krishna consciousness. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam, unlike in other scriptures, Shlavyasadeva had explained how have great devotees from their own positions been serving Krishna. And they have used different kinds of knowledge to please Krishna. So in that way we can also connect from different narratives of great personalities and see how we also can serve from our position and finally reach that level of Bhavuka or Rasika. About the mention Sri Upanishad, Upanishad is one of the Upanishads. It's explaining one of the vidyas or the sciences of Upanishads. There are 32 sciences of Upanishads, And Ishavasya is one, Brahma Vidya is another. But one of them is also explained in this chapter, 10th chapter, and it's called Shodashakala Vidya, the science of material creation and instruments in material world. So this whole chapter is explaining actually the primary creation in Shodashakala Vidya. So what would be then this Shodashakala Vidya and what we can learn from that for our own practical spiritual life. So the chapter is explaining first the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and first of them is Sarga, the creation, the primary creation, the creation which is created by Ishvara. And then is explaining there, Shodarsha means the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then explains the Pancha Karmendriya. Or the first explaining Tanmatra, the sound, touch, form, smell, and taste, taste and smell. And after that, explaining the five senses with which we are working, the Pancha Karmendriya, the mouth, hands, legs, genitals, and excretion organ. So, and plus also mind, that is 555, and one that's 16, Shodasha Kala Vidya. However, we see this further in Srimad Bhagavatam, this same Shodasha Kala Vidya is explained further, and there are 24 elements, including the five senses to gather the knowledge, like ears, then ears, skin, eyes, tongue, and nose. And plus with that also the intelligence, ego, the jiva as purusha, and paramatma as super self or the super soul. Sorry? I thought someone said. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshmana Hanumana ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. However, this interestingly, this whole science of Sankhya Yoga is just teaching us primarily two things about Purusha and Prakriti, about the nature of enjoyer and the nature of enjoyed. So the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't start interestingly to teach us about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada in one of talks is saying that knowledge doesn't start from Krishna. The knowledge starts from things which are observable in our life. And that is science. Sometimes we mistake Krishna consciousness for religion. But Srila Prabhupada gives one statement. Krishna consciousness is not a religion. I'm not paraphrasing, it's a direct statement. Krishna consciousness is not religion, it is science. And the origin of Bhagavad Darshan is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam itself. It is Drig Drishya Vichara. It is the consideration of the perception and perceived. So that is the Bhagavad Darshan. The Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that there is a difference between the perceived objects, perception, and the subject. So interestingly, the Western Occidental tradition wants to understand the reality through science of objects, through understanding objects. Without our own subjective perception, we can understand reality, tattva. However, the Eastern traditions, especially Vedic tradition, is trying to understand reality from the perspective of subject. And how that works? It works that subject, through his purification, through his brahmacharya and studying Vedic scriptures, becomes purified, and then through pure perception, he can perceive properly reality. And interestingly, and finally, the material science have also came to that conclusion. because they have, now there is a problem of measurement in science and the problem of qualia. And qualia means that how objects have primary characteristic like mass, volume, etc. However, we see that they also have secondary qualities, characteristics like this is wooden brown table. So it's not just mass, it's not just volume, which you can measure with material instruments, but also the qualia, the experience of brown table, which is, you know, they can be measured or perceived only by senses of a living being, and a wooden table. No? So the perception of object by living being is also validated. So the science finally took in consideration this subject as well. And interestingly, our own perception of the world is actually very unrealistic, as per science and as per Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is where actually Srimad Bhagavatam and science, they come to the same conclusion, that our own perception of reality is wrong. There is one thing in science called reiteration, as far as I remember, means that we are perceiving the world with our own senses, gyanendriya, and having impression of the world, but however falsely concluding that our impression of the world is reality, that is naive realism. And Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking the same, that we fall into illusion by thinking that our own perception is real. And, what that means, that world is unreal, or, you know, because it's so tangible, you know. This world is for us very tangible. But actually we have never seen this world. We have never experienced the Panchamahabhuta. Srimad Bhagavatam clearly explains that we have only experiences of this world. We just know our experiences of this world. We don't know this world. The five elements we don't know. And the philosophy of Shakti Mantayora Veda is explaining that our own senses can perceive the characteristics of object, not the object itself. For example, the soil. How we know the soil exists? We know the soil exists because of a brown color, the texture, etc. So we know only the qualities of object. So we don't know the object. Some Indic schools of thought, they concluded that only Shakti exists. They are called Shaktas. That only Shakti exists because how can we know that Shaktiman exists? Because we see only Shaktis, the energies, the qualities. However, the logic of Shakti Mantayora Veda of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is teaching us that logically we perceive that where there is some quality, there must be also behind that the subject of that quality. Just like previous verse was explaining that Krishna is the subject of his nama, rupa, guna, and lila. So, where we stop with that point, the Shakti Mantayora Veda is explaining that we perceive only the qualities of objects. We don't perceive the objects themselves. So, in that sense, when we say that Krishna created this world, that's wrong, actually. Because we have only our experiences of this world. We don't see the world which Krishna created. And you will see, maybe it sounds very controversial to you, but I'll read for you text 45. Because you see how Srimad Bhagavatam is very scientific. There is no direct engineering by the Lord for the creation and destruction of the material world. What is described in the Vedas about his direct interference is simply to counteract the idea that material nature is the creator. So there is no direct engineering. So Krishna didn't create this world. Your experience is not created by Krishna. It's created and explained in these verses. It is created by Adidaivika, by demigods, by Adibhautika, the conditioned material person, and Adhyatmika, the self, which is non-material. These three are creating our experiences. So sometimes we argue with atheists or whatsoever, but actually it's wrong. You know, Krishna created this world. Indirectly, yes. In primary creation, yes. But in secondary creation, no, he didn't create. So this this is the conclusion, Bhagavad Siddhanta, which is suitable for explanation of modern science, because modern science came also to that conclusion. And sometimes we conclude that Srila Prabhupada is against science. However, we see that he clearly said that Krishna consciousness is science, and he also mentioned that material philosophers and thinkers, scientists, they finally realize Krishna in form of his Virat Rupa, in form of cosmic creation. So there is nothing else to experience but Krishna, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that he is the taste of water, he is the smell of soil, he is the sound in the ether. So what is behind of our perception is actually only Krishna, but we have never experienced him directly. So this knowledge, we can think as what is the use of all this knowledge? But it's experience of Krishna. The one who is Uttamadhikari, he's always seeing Krishna. In everywhere, in any experience, he is experiencing Krishna. And also this knowledge of Shodashakala Vidya is teaching us how to be dependent and teaching us our own real position. Because Purusha, as explained in this text 40, is independent and Prakriti is dependent. The living being is always dependent. Either we take shelter of material elements to fulfill our own desires, or we take shelter of spiritual energy and fulfill our own desires and needs through spiritual energy. So the living being in this will consider himself Purusha, but however, in relationship with reality, Param Satyam, the living being is actually Prakriti. And Srila Prabhupada explains in purport that there is Apara Prakriti, the lower, inferior nature, and there is Para Prakriti, superior nature. So living being is also Prakriti. So how interesting that all of us, especially all of us men, we consider ourselves great Purushas, and, you know, we are very masculine. However, we are all Prakriti, we are all feminine, no? In position to God. And the great gentleman is the person who can internally towards God be Prakriti and act as feminine and be dependent on God. However, externally he always acts as masculine in his own position. So proper understanding of Jiva Tattva, being dependent on Krishna, will actually, proper Sambandha Gyan will create in us proper Abhideya Gyan, all the knowledge of process or action, how we should act. Because if we don't have proper understanding of Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge of our relationship with the Prakriti, matter, and with Ishvara, our own bhakti will not be also proper. Because if we have wrong concept of Jiva and Prakriti, we will not have inclination. Utaya is said in this canto, Utaya, the enthusiasm to do pure activity, akarma. For example, some tradition, they have understanding that this body is by itself soul. That there is not nothing else. This is the self, no? The material body is the self. Then some another, they consider that the body have the soul or the self, no? But however, the pure understanding is the self is the part and parcel, Amshi of Krishna. Krishna is saying, Bhagavad Gita, Mama eva amsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Mama eva amsha. Certainly this jiva is my amsha, my part and parcel. Therefore Krishna is amshi, he is the whole. So the living being amsha, naturally needs to interact with amshi in the function of pleasing the amshi, the whole. So from that is created our or perceived our own real nature and our function as serving Krishna, just like if we have a finger. Now, if the finger's function is to serve the body, but however, if finger is acting separately, then is actually dysfunctional. And that is the position of conditioned living being in this world. So the Amsha being the created is always dependent. If the creator is creating some creation, that means that creation can never be equal to creator. And that means that feminine can never be equal to masculine. However, for the sake of fulfilling their needs and desires, they cooperate. And that is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the simultaneous oneness and difference. Sometimes we consider ourselves as, you know, Dvaitis. But that is Dvaitis or dualistic school, but that is only for the sake of bhakti. Actually, in one sense, we are all equal to Krishna. It is Bheda Bheda. It is difference in non-difference, individuality in non-difference from Krishna. This Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. So Tattvam Yajjnanam Advayam. Tattva is non-dual reality. The reality is non-dual substance. Means that we are non-different from Krishna. Because if the acharyas are explaining, Jiva Goswami is explaining, if there is absolute difference between Jiva and Krishna, there is no need for service. Because if there is no connection between mother and child, then there is no need for love between them. But if there is natural connection between them, because child's body is produced from mother, then there is a need for that love and relationship. So in the same way, we as Amshas of that Amshi have absolute need for relationship with Krishna. So then great sages have concluded that, you know, pure devotional service would be the final and proper activity by living beings to achieve perfection in life. Not karma mishra bhakti, not jnana mishra bhakti, not devotional service to get any result, not devotional service to get liberation, but pure devotional service, because the function of living being is to serve and please Krishna. So the prayojana or the goal of such devotional service would never be either dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And Srimad Bhagavatam especially explains that service with desire for any of these four chaturpurushartas or aspiration of human beings is kaitava dharma, is the cheating religion, cheating propensity of living being, and wants to get something from his own activity. However, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have declared prema pumarto mahan, Srimad Bhagavatam amalam puranam, prema pumarto mahan, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tatradhanam, again, idam matam, Tatradhanam na paraham. This is the opinion of Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore we consider them the highest. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is then naturally teaching us the Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge of relationship of Jiva with Ishvara, the Krishna, and how to act properly in that relationship. Bhakti and the goal of such devotional service, prayojana, is Labhu Gadhyat. Thank you very much. If there is any question or comment, we can take maybe for shortly a few minutes. Yes, Prabhu. You can just be louder if it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. That's a perfect question, actually. So I hope to give perfect answer. Then. Online. Oh, yes. So Prabhu was asking that if our own if experience in this world doesn't give us proper realization, perception of reality, then is it the same in devotional service that our own perception of world is imperfect, and therefore how we know that we're perceiving the reality. Upanishads are explaining actually five levels of perception. One is pratyaksha, direct personal sense perception, then pratyaksha, paroksha, direct perception, sense perception by others, then adokshaja, the experience, then aparoksha is experience, then adokshaja means that something which is above our eyes, which we cannot perceive, and then aprakrita, the transcendental perception. So pratyaksha is, we are all limited to our own perception in this world, to our own senses, and we need to depend on that. But we can also depend on the senses of others. That is paroksha, that's higher level. Just if someone is in another room, he can tell us what's going on there. We can extend our perception. But the aparoksha is without sense perception and means experience. Just like if devotee can tell you, dance, it's very ecstatic, it's wonderful. And doesn't mean anything to you. You don't have that mood or you don't want to dance. But if you dance, you know how it is. So it's experience. Mm-hmm. And in that experience, then adokshaja can descend. And that is higher level when we experience extrasensory levels of reality where Krishna or, this reality itself is manifested within our own sense perception. And we see that devotees have this experience. And I think I became devotee because of that. You read in books, you have Veda, you have knowledge, and you have experience of that. And you can verify your experience. You don't need to speculate, and you become, like a speculator or a sentimentalist. Oh, I had this experience. No, it's very realistic. So this adokshaja descends, then we can experience things which are more, more extrasensory or more direct, in a sense that we experience them not only on it's called bahiranga karana, external senses, but antakarana, the mind, intelligence, and ego, but also within our consciousness. And that is something which is different. Because in this world we perceive only through false perception of ego. Just like I say here, I perceive the brown table. Nothing is created by living being. Even I is false ego, false self. Because it's adibhautika, the material body. I, the body, perceive the material, the brown table. So, however, when we have this experience of adokshaja, then we understand deeper meanings of reality. There are a couple of levels of sound which explain this, but it would be too much time to explain. And then aprakrita means when we can see reality directly. That means that Krishna himself have manifested within that. And sometime in our life we are fortunate we have experience and we feel very much connected to Krishna through remnants of his food, like prasadam, or his charnamrita, the ingredients with which we wash his feet, the fragrance of his galan. So they are so powerful, actually, because they are not indirect anymore. They are directly offered to deity because Krishna have descended into murti. So through Krishna's Svarup Shakti we are trying to perceive. Otherwise, if we try to perceive through external energy, just with the senses, even Murti or anything in Krishna consciousness, then still we will perceive through our lenses of Maya. We see separately, without things. But if we have any of these direct experiences, we know actually that it's above our sense perception, and the feeling of satisfaction is so natural for living being that we have never experienced that in this world. So I would say like that. Hopefully there is someone under comment or someone can say something. Yes, Prabhu.
So you were saying that experience, like you were saying dancing, then you can perceive that experience, like if you're in a kirtan. But how do you differentiate the experience if someone is clubbing or dancing in some reggae music? Because they're also feeling good in ecstasy in some way. So how do you differentiate that experience?
Mm-hmm. The one is the clubbing is loss of memory, and second one experience is increased memory. Remember who you are, and you remember who is Krishna. You see, whoever is clubbing, they don't remember their experiences. So it's very degrading, isn't it? And actually, they never have their direct experience, even of matter, no, because they always live in past or future. They go for clubbing, and then over there, oh, I'm going to take drink, and when he's drinking, then he's thinking, oh, I want to dance. When he's dancing, he thinks about other friends. He thinks about another gender. He's always thinking about something in future, vartamana. And he's never in presence, so he never experienced things. So, however, in Krishna consciousness, because the experience is so overwhelming, your senses is fully satisfied, and you don't want to go anywhere else. That's the difference. One of the difference. And then, because you live in present moment, you can always remember that. I remember one devotee told me that even if I now stop my Krishna consciousness, I would just live from my memories. And he's a wonderful devotee. If I would just live from memories of Krishna consciousness, because it's so wonderful, no? And they are uplifting. They we stop so many bad habits just by Krishna consciousness. And you had anything else on mind, Prabhu? No? Okay. Prayojan Prabhu have something there. Actually, what Prabhu is saying that we can learn through Guru and have his experience of Krishna consciousness. This is the same level of adokshaja. It's not, someone may think it's paroksha, it's from another person, but actually it's the adokshaja, because Guru is direct representative of Krishna, and therefore through him the realization of bhakti descends, and therefore we can have that more easier. His experience becomes our experience, therefore it's easier for us to practice. I believe that everyone is eagerly expecting the experience of prasadam, so kindly proceed. Thank you so much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.